By now, with the vestments of red, you know that something special is going on. The church's great festival of Pentecost, celebrating the energy of God, the living, loving, dancing, creative, hard-working, life-giving Holy Spirit, who is forever moving among us and working within us. Sometimes as the divine comforter, and sometimes as the holy disturber. We read of Pentecost in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And on first glance, it's nothing but wind, fire, and chaos. Picture it. People were there from all over the known world at that time. Parthians, Medes, Elamites. The list goes on, and it's long, I think, in order to impress us. People from near and far were gathered in Jerusalem just as they did every year on the 50th day after Passover to celebrate the spring and the winter harvest. There they were, people from every nation under heaven. And they were pushing and they were shoving. They were laughing and they were dancing, bad manners and high spirits all over the place. Some might say that one of the liabilities of being in Jerusalem for Pentecost was putting up with the chaos that went along with it. If you have ever been in a room full of people, everybody talking and no one listening, you know the kind of chaos that we're talking about. If you have ever been in New Orleans at Mardi Gras time, you know the kind of chaos we are talking about. Or here is a teenage boy, and he's shouting at his father, "But Dad, you never listen to me. You never understand me." And he's probably right. The old man doesn't. But then again, maybe the teenage boy doesn't listen and understand either. And the result is that they speak no word to each other that is understandable. And they're shouting and they are angry. And the end result is loneliness and a broken relationship. This too is the kind of chaos that we are talking about. The sad thing is that we are growing rather accustomed to such chaos in our lives. So much so that it doesn't seem to surprise us when we see it happening on a much larger scale. News anchors and commentators, both over the air and on the printed page, describe our nation as one that is divided against itself. And there is a crisis emerging, they say, as nations of the global community are at growing odds with each other. Christians and Muslims, Republicans and Democrats, black people and white, male and female, gay and straight, just don't understand one another. There is more shouting and accusing and arguing than this old world can handle. And there is very little conversation that will lead to understanding. For a biblical explanation of this painful dimension of human life, we often go back to the edge of history, to the land of Shinar, where some of the descendants of Noah decided to build for themselves a city. A city with high walls all around to protect it from people from the outside, to protect their language and their culture. And at the center of the city, there was to be a tower, a very high tower, a skyscraper, if you will, that would declare how great they thought themselves to be. Did they actually think they could get away with it? Did they actually think that this is how they were meant to live? Did they actually think they could decide who was in and who was out? Well, according to the ancient story of the Tower of Babel, be it fact or parable, that is exactly what they thought. But God wanted nothing to do with it. And God went there and stirred the pot, so to speak, mixing up their language and their culture so that the people at Shinar and everywhere else might begin to see and to enjoy the world with its complex diversity. Colorful and interesting. God's gracious design. What happened in Jerusalem at Pentecost, hundreds of years later, was yet another affirmation of this same gracious design. There they were, people from every nation under heaven, with all of their cultural habits and speaking their own native language, and perplexing and astonishing and amazing as it is, they were understanding each other. They recognized all of their differences, to be sure, but they also recognized their common sins and weaknesses, their common hopes and dreams, their common humanity, and their common yearning, a yearning for a more abundant life. And God's Spirit moved among them and worked within them in such a way that they communicated with each other in the language of God, which is the language of love. The late Reverend Dr. Kent Knutson was one of my professors at Wartburg Seminary about 50 years ago. Thank you very much. Dr. Knutson was a brilliant teacher of systematic theology, and he was a marvelous preacher who put aside theological jargon and spoke in a down-to-earth way for all to understand. He once told of the day when their newly adopted son from Korea, Carl Frederick, came to make his home with the Knutson family. There was an understandable anxiety in the boy. He was 4 or 5 years of age, and there was a barrier between them because they did not speak the same verbal language. The day was long, and when it came time to tuck Carl Frederick into his bed for the first time, Dr. Knutson hugged him goodnight, and Carl Frederick hugged him back. And now they were speaking a language both could understand. They were speaking the language of God, which is the language of love. The ability to speak the language of God is a gift of the Holy Spirit that is within all of us. A gift blessed by God and used by God. When St. Paul listed the gifts of the Spirit, of which there are many, teaching, healing, faith, hope, he made a point of saying that the most important, the most excellent, the most powerful of all of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of love. How did he say it? You know. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. In Jerusalem, the flame of that love was lit in the disciples and the friends of Jesus. No longer did they just sit around all the day long. With a new heart and a new resolve, they went out and about, speaking as Jesus spoke, living as Jesus would have them live, and with their hands touching the broken and the hurt, as if their hands were the hands of Jesus. They, in fact, became and lived as the body of Christ on earth, which we call the Holy Christian Church. The very same Spirit whose work is never done, is moving among us and working within us, calling us to listen to the language of the rich and the poor, the language of the stranger at our gate and our neighbor across the street, of all the children of God, and to speak to them the language of God, which is the language of love. Now, please don't think of this as a lot of idealism and preacher talk. It will happen and become real, all right, as we participate in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, dying to ourselves, dying to the same kind of selfish ambition and foolish pride that was on full display there on Shinar in the Tower of Babel, and then rising to the new life in Christ Jesus, a life that is shaped by and lived in the grace of God. When we participate in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and allow God's Holy Spirit to move among us and to work within us, people may not see tongues of fire dancing on our foreheads, but they will know that the fire is there. Amen.